So, I don't know if you know this, but the original draft of the movie Star Wars was not written by Lucas and Company. The original draft was written by environmentalists, and I happen to have a rare first draft of that screenplay on my person. And is there anybody in here who does not know the plot of the movie Star Wars? Holy crap. That's a lot. You know, usually when I ask this question, it's like one person raises their hand. I think that's really cool, actually, that it's like 30 people raise their hands. Okay, so for those of you who don't know the plot, here's the plot of Star Wars in a nutshell. And the movie came out in 1977, and I saw it when I was in high school, which is the perfect time to see that movie, because I went to see it and I told all my friends, "Oh man, the acting is so good." And I thought it was a great movie. I wasn't one of those nerds who saw it, you know, 1,000 times or anything. Well, for one thing, I'm not a nerd, and for another thing, I was way too busy playing Dungeons and Dragons. But anyway, the basic plot is that the Empire has constructed this giant machine that is capable of destroying entire planets, called the Death Star. And it's capable of destroying entire planets. And that's a wonderful metaphor for the dominant culture, of course. This machine is destroying planets, or a planet in this case. So what happens in the movie is that the rebels figure out a way to blow up the Death Star. So then Luke Skywalker uses the Force to get past all the TIE fighters and then to drop a torpedo down a thermal exhaust port. I guess maybe I'm kind of a nerd. Anyway, so he finds a way to get past all the TIE fighters and drop a torpedo down the thermal exhaust port and blow up the whole Death Star. And that's pretty much, I've ruined the movie for you. But you should still watch it for the acting. And anyway, so the movie that the way that the environmentalists wrote it was actually a bit different. For one thing, they didn't call it Star Wars. They called it instead Star Nonviolent Civil Disobedience. And another difference is that in this version, they didn't actually blow up the Death Star. Instead, the way that they wanted to stop the Empire was they set up programs for people on planets about to be destroyed to produce luxury items like hemp hacky sacks and gourmet coffee for sale to inhabitants of the Death Star. Audience members will also discover that there are plans afoot to encourage loads of troopers and other citizens of the Empire to take eco-tours of doomed planets. The purpose will be to show to one and all that these planets are economically important to the Empire and so should not be destroyed. In a surprise move that will get viewers to the edges of their seats, other groups of rebels file lawsuits against the Empire, attempting to show that the environmental impact statement that Darth Vader was required to file failed to adequately support his decision that blowing up the planet would cause no significant impact. Viewers will thrill to learn of plans to boycott items produced by corporations that have Darth Vader on the board of directors. And they will leap to their feet in theaters worldwide when they see bags full of letters written directly to Mr. Vader himself, asking that he please not blow up any more planets. Scribbled in the margin is a note from one of the screenwriters. "For accuracy's sake, when we show examples of these letters, it's imperative that all letters to Mr. Vader be respectful and courteous, that they stress the need to find cooperative solutions to the differences between the rebels and the Empire. Under no circumstances should the letters be such that they would alienate or anger Mr. Vader. If the letters upset Mr. Vader, the rebels' letter campaign to the Grand Moff Tarkin will certainly fail as well." Other plans include sending petitions and filing lawsuits. Now, we all know that all of that would be sufficient not only to bring the Empire to its knees, but to make a damn fine and exciting movie. The thing is, there's more. Thousands of renegade rebels, unhappy with what they perceive as toadying on the part of the mainstream rebels, decide in a scene guaranteed to bring tears to the eyes of even the most cold-hearted theatergoers to stand on the planets about to be destroyed, link arms, and sing "Give Peace a Chance." They send DVDs of that to Darth Vader and his boss, the Grand Moff Tarkin, to whom they also send wave after wave of loving kindness. A few of the rebels sneak aboard the Death Star and they lock themselves down to various pieces of equipment. And stirring debates are held on screen among these rebels as to whether they should voluntarily surrender on approach of the troopers or whether they should remain locked down to the end. And in a brilliant and brave touch of authenticity, the rebels are never able to come to consensus. But there's more. Once inside the Death Star, a splinter group breaks off from those about to lock themselves down. And they rush down these long hallways, and they somehow avoid all the troopers, and they burn a couple transporters, and they use chemicals to etch Galaxy Liberation Front on the walls of the Death Star. And then there's another group that breaks off from them, and they sneak down more hallways, they get past more troopers, and finally they make it all the way to Darth Vader's private room. And he's there by himself. They sneak up behind him, and then they hit him with a vegan cream pie. The producers decided to cut that scene, though, because it was far too close to something that was happening in another movie they were developing at the same time, which is which was called The Plot to Pie Hitler. Near the end of the movie, there's another debate that's held among the rebels, and that was actually a problem I had with the environmentalist screenplay, is that there was a bit too much debate and not quite enough action. As the Death Star looms directly overhead, a few of the rebels advocate picking up weapons to fight back. And those rebels are generally shouted down by the pacifist rebels, who argue that attacking those who run the Death Star is just another example of the Empire's harmful philosophy coming in by the back door. They state that the rebels who want to fight back are simply being co-opted by the need to control things. If we want to change Darth Vader, they say, we must first become that change ourselves. To change Darth Vader's heart, we must first change our own. We must, above all else, have compassion for Darth Vader and remember that he, too, was once a child. One writer put in the margins, excellent, that will be sure to moisten the cheeks of sensitive people everywhere. And he didn't mention whether those tears would be of frustration. Finally, Leia, Luke, Han, Chewbacca, and a couple of robots show up and tell the others they found a way to blow up the whole Death Star. And the rest of the rebels, of course, are just horrified. In the exciting final scene of the environmentalist version, a scuffle breaks out between Leia, Luke, Han, and Chewbacca on one side and the pacifists on the other. And the pacifists chase those four from the room and from the film, which is not a big deal because they're minor characters anyway. Anyway, so then what happens, the way the movie ends, is that the Death Star looms closer and closer, and audience members just chew their fingernails as they wait to see whether the letters and petitions and lawsuits work their magic. Viewers see lasers inside the Death Star warm up to destroy the planet. So you see the planet, and then you see the Death Star, and you see the planet, and the Death Star, and you see the lasers glow this hellish red, and then you see the planet again, and then you see, there's this little streak of light, and what that is that's the environmentalists getting away before the planet's blown up. And then of course, you see the planet get blown up. And then the very final shot of the movie, which shows what a complete triumph this was for the rebels, is a still showing an article on the lower left of page 43 of the New Empire Times that devotes a full 3 sentences to the destruction of the planet. So it's like, yeah, we got some press. That's the end of the story. Another thing. I was way too busy playing Dungeons & Dragons. But anyway, the basic plot is that the Empire has constructed this giant machine that is capable of destroying entire planets called the Death Star. And it's capable of destroying entire planets. And that's a wonderful metaphor for the dominant culture, of course. This machine is destroying planets, or a planet in this case. So what happens in the movie is that the rebels figure out a way to blow up the Death Star. So then Luke Skywalker uses the Force to get past all the TIE fighters and then to drop a torpedo down a thermal exhaust port. I guess maybe I'm kind of a nerd. Anyway, so he finds a way to get past all the TIE fighters and drop a torpedo down the thermal exhaust port and blow up the whole Death Star. And that's pretty much, I ruined the movie for you. But you should still watch it for the acting. And anyway, so the movie that the way that the environmentalists wrote it was actually a bit different. For one thing, they didn't call it Star Wars. They called it instead Star Nonviolent Civil Disobedience. And another difference is that in this version, they didn't actually blow up the Death Star. Instead, the way that they wanted to stop the Empire was they set up programs for people on planets about to be destroyed to produce luxury items like hemp hacky sacks and gourmet coffee for sale to inhabitants of the Death Star. Audience members will also discover that there are plans afoot to encourage loads of troopers and other citizens of the Empire to take eco-tours of doomed planets. The purpose will be to show to one and all that these planets are economically important to the Empire and so should not be destroyed. In a surprise move that will get viewers to the edges of their seats, other groups of rebels file lawsuits against the Empire, attempting to show that the environmental impact statement that Darth Vader was required to file failed to adequately support his decision that blowing up the planet would cause no significant impact. Viewers will thrill to learn of plans to boycott items produced by corporations that have Darth Vader on the board of directors. and they will leap to their feet in theaters worldwide when they see bags full of letters written directly to Mr. Vader himself, asking that he please not blow up any more planets. Scribbled in the margin is a note from one of the screenwriters. For accuracy's sake, when we show examples of these letters, it's imperative that all letters to Mr. Vader be respectful and courteous, that they stress the need to find cooperative solutions to the differences between the rebels and the Empire. Under no circumstances should the letters be such that they would alienate or anger Mr. Vader. If the letters upset Mr. Vader, the rebels' letter campaign to the Grand Moff Tarkin will certainly fail as well. Other plans include sending petitions and filing lawsuits. Now, we all know that all of that would be sufficient not only to bring the Empire to its knees, but to make a damn fine and exciting movie. The thing is, there's more. Thousands of renegade rebels, unhappy with what they perceive as toadying on the part of the mainstream rebels, decide in a scene guaranteed to bring tears to the eyes of even the most cold-hearted theatergoers to stand on the planets about to be destroyed, link arms, and sing Give Peace a Chance. They send DVDs of that to Darth Vader and his boss, the Grand Moff Tarkin, to whom they also send wave after wave of loving kindness. A few of the rebels sneak aboard the Death Star and they lock themselves down to various pieces of equipment. And stirring debates are held on screen among these rebels as to whether they should voluntarily surrender on approach of the troopers or whether they should remain locked down to the end. And in a brilliant and brave touch of authenticity, the rebels are never able to come to consensus. But there's more. Once inside the Death Star, a splinter group breaks off from those about to lock themselves down. And they rush down these long hallways, and they somehow avoid all the troopers, and they burn a couple transporters, and they use chemicals to etch Galaxy Liberation Front on the walls of the Death Star. And then there's another group that breaks off from them, and they sneak down more hallways, they get past more troopers, and finally they make it all the way to Darth Vader's private room. And he's there by himself. They sneak up behind him, and then they hit him with a vegan cream pie. The producers decided to cut that scene, though, because it was far too close to something that was happening in another movie they were developing at the same time, which was called The Plot to Pie Hitler. Near the end of the movie, there's another debate that's held among the rebels, and that was actually a problem I had with the environmentalist screenplay, is that there was a bit too much debate and not quite enough action. As the Death Star looms directly overhead, a few of the rebels advocate picking up weapons to fight back. And those rebels are generally shouted down by the pacifist rebels, who argue that attacking those who run the Death Star is just another example of the Empire's harmful philosophy coming in by the back door. They state that the rebels who want to fight back are simply being co-opted by the need to control things. If we want to change Darth Vader, they say, we must first become that change ourselves. To change Darth Vader's heart, we must first change our own. We must, above all else, have compassion for Darth Vader and remember that he, too, was once a child. One writer put in the margins, excellent, that will be sure to moisten the cheeks of sensitive people everywhere. And he didn't mention whether those tears would be of frustration. Finally, Leia, Luke, Han, Chewbacca, and a couple of robots show up and tell the others they found a way to blow up the whole Death Star. And the rest of the rebels, of course, are just horrified. In the exciting final scene of the environmentalist version, a scuffle breaks out between Leia, Luke, Han, and Chewbacca on one side and the pacifists on the other. And the pacifists chase those four from the room and from the film, which is not a big deal because they're minor characters anyway. Anyway, so then what happens, the way the movie ends, is that the Death Star looms closer and closer, and audience members just chew their fingernails as they wait to see whether the letters and petitions and lawsuits work their magic. Viewers see lasers inside the Death Star warm up to destroy the planet. So you see the planet, and then you see the Death Star, and you see the planet, and the Death Star, and you see the lasers glow this hellish red, and then you see the planet again, and then you see, there's this little streak of light, and what that is that's the environmentalists getting away before the planet's blown up. And then of course, you see the planet get blown up. And then the very final shot of the movie, which shows what a complete triumph this was for the rebels, is a still showing an article on the lower left of page 43 of the New Empire Times that devotes a full 3 sentences to the destruction of the planet. So it's like, yeah, we got some press. That's the end of the story.